from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Bears.
You better get on the Bears right now. You better get on the Bears.
Oh,
the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming.
There's an energy in this building.
You know, history's the history. I'm done talking about it. We're bringing players in here that want to really just change everything up and do things a different way.
I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, top 5 defense that we had last year.
Bears are coming.
Bear down, baby.
Let's go win the Super Bowl. Bear down.
Bear down. Let's go.
Bring it. What?
We're here. We're here.
They're here. They're in practice at Halas Hall. Mark Grody of the full report in an hour. Dave Wannstedt was also at that practice. He joins us straight up at 5 o'clock. John Morosi in 25 minutes. Jeff Passan had a story about the trade market absolutely cratering for Garrett Crochet, given the contract extension request that him and his agency, CAA, have apparently put forward. We will talk about that in just a little bit. But Caleb Williams is obviously going to get a ton of airtime on Hard Knocks and everything. We'll never have to wonder for the next few years when the Bears are on national TV, like who they're going to put on the graphic. Like it was DJ Moore for a while, and sometimes it was a defensive player. So you never knew. Then Justin Fields, obviously, for a little bit. You never knew exactly who they were going to do. Caleb is going to be the interview request that every national outlet that goes to training camp is going to be at. And Sirius, as the official, you know, radio partner of the NFL, they do their training camp tour, and the Bears were their first stop. Bears, one of the first teams to report to training camp because of the Hall of Fame game, which is coming up soon. But the Move and the Change show on Sirius XM, it actually had a couple of familiar voices with Jeff Joniak and Jim Miller. They sat down with Caleb Williams, and he talked about living up to expectations of being the starting quarterback of the Bears.
How about for you personally? Like for me, obviously, I played quarterback here. And, you know, since I've covered the team, whether it's Jay Cutler, whether it's Rex Grossman, a lot of guys feel vilified, you know, at the quarterback position. I know when I played here at quarterback, it wasn't what I experienced at all. I mean, it was just an incredible experience of the passionate fan base and everything. And how has that been like for you? Because it's been an unorthodox, you know, through the draft and how you approached everything. And now you're here, you know, and how you're being embraced. Because, you know, like I said, some other quarterbacks have felt differently. I never experienced that. It's been wonderful. And I think you're approaching it the right way.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been embraced. I make sure that, I mean, I've said it multiple times that I'm going to embrace the situation. I'm going to embrace, you know, the fans, the community, my teammates and things like that. I care. And so I think the things and steps that I've taken so far is shown exactly what I've said, that, you know, I'm going to go out there and embrace, you know, being out there. I care about ball. I care about winning. I care about my teammates, and I also care about, you know, the fans and the community.
Let me ask you about that, because Jalen Johnson obviously made his Hollywood comment, and I talked to him about that, and he said, no, it wasn't like that, and he has spoken to you and all that. But, you know, maybe the perception of you, and now you're here, because, and I noticed this at the draft when Pat and I talked to you at the draft, you're real, you're genuine, and you're authentic. And I think that really bodes well for you, and it bodes well for this fan base.
Yep.
And how to approach it.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody always has their own opinions. I think you would know that from playing. And, you know, you're not out here to...
It's in your face all the time.
Yeah.
You see a Bears hat or a Bears coat.
And, yeah.
bumper sticker when you pull up to the stoplight.
Yeah, but you know, you don't sit back and, you know, kind of feel like you should, you know, feel some type of way about it. I think, you know, you, like I said before, you sit back, you embrace it, you understand the position that you're in, that we're in, and you work towards, you know, winning games. You work towards building this bond between your teammates and trust between your teammates, and I think that goes a long way. And then, you know, from there on out, like I said, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, please everybody. I'm trying to. You can't please everybody. You know, you're trying to make sure you go out there and win games, and only, you know, please, you know, your family members, your teammates, the coaches, because those are people that know, you know, whether you're in here at 6 a.m. all the way till, you know, 8. And so just getting after it, enjoying it, embracing that and my teammates.
How is it for you? You know, last year, obviously, Bryce Young, what he went through. How do you not put too much pressure on yourself? I've lived in your shoes. This town can be a pressure cooker, but if you're working hard, you keep your mouth shut, they'll love you. They'll love you. You know, but for you, how do you not put too much pressure on yourself? Because you're kind of anointed here.
Pressure isn't a word that I use in my vocabulary, really, only when other people talk about it. And every time that you'll hear me speak about pressure is that I don't think that pressure is a thing. As long as you prepare for the moment mentally and physically, get in here, work, get after it, whether it's weight room, film room, and then get on the field and work. And then obviously game days, get out there and go be special. And so, you know, I think, you know, pressure comes from not being ready. Pressure comes from not having confidence. And I think, preparation's everything. That's what coach says. And so, you know, just getting after it, enjoying the process, challenging myself. The coach is challenging me, responding, you know, and just, you know, learning and soaking up all the information that I can. And then when we get out there, you know, just be free, have fun, communicate, and let it fly.
The guy seems so sure of himself, right? Like, you know, I don't love judging press conferences or anything like that, but it's just, as we're trying to get to know this kid, Jim Miller is a really good media guy. I mean, I've disagreed with his thoughts sometimes over the years, whatever, doesn't matter. He's very good at it. Like, he knows what his opinion are. He works hard. He does games. He does radio shows. He's an analyst. Like, he's good at it. But if you were going to just listen to those two guys have a conversation, it didn't seem like Jim Miller was 30 years older than Caleb Williams. Just the level of assurance in Caleb's voice and conviction in who he is, it's pretty amazing. It's almost disarming of like, wait, man, I know that. I mean, I'm sure he has some insecurity. Almost everybody does. But I know I still do at 37. Most people, not everyone will admit it, but most people have insecurities. That guy does not seem to really traffic in the space of insecurity very much. Like, whether he's telling the truth or not, or whether he knows what he doesn't know in terms of, like, pressure isn't in his vocabulary, it's a good line, and yeah, things will surprise him in the NFL, he'll have struggles. But for him to just have the confidence to express himself in that way, I think it's becoming more common for young people in the spotlight to be that mature. I mean, Roman Dunze seems to be pretty damn mature. But that is just a level of self-assuredness that is very, very hard to achieve at any stage in life, much less 22 years old. Caleb continued with the Sirius crew, the Move and the Chain show on Sirius XM, on on-field stuff, the weapons, working on throws, basically, you know, the football.
I'll tell you what is pleasing to everybody on your team, the targets, is the way you throw the football. One of the guys told me it doesn't matter what level, it is such a catchable football. And, you know, that's an unbelievable compliment to you, but it has to do with accuracy, it has to do with timing, it has to do with touch on the ball. This is clearly something you've worked on your whole life. Do you feel that way, that your balls are catchable balls? Doesn't matter if it's a 50-yarder or a swing pass to the backfield.
Yeah, there's always a thing that all the Qs know is KYP, know your personnel. So that goes into it. And then also just working out, you know, throughout the years, and this, you know, this I guess my first off season in a way, is working on the things that, you know, may happen on a seam ball. You may have to work a little, you know, a little arc over the backer with a little touch, and then sometimes you don't. Sometimes you can rip it. And so, you know, just working on, you know, the different type of throws, a different type of touch, and then knowing your personnel and how to throw to them and what's their most catchable ball and how they like to, you know, how they like to, you know, see it, you know, coming in and things like that.
Well, we've talked about it a lot, the weaponry that is around you and this offense. And so now that's from paper to the field. You can appreciate it. I always feel like as a point guard, quarterback, whatever you want to call it, somebody's going to be open because these guys are all talented at the backfield, tight end, wide receiver. What are your experiences with that and the whole idea of the one ball, many weapons? I know fans are like, oh, my God, how's he going to make everybody happy? This is a selfless group of guys, though.
Yeah.
I can tell that already.
Yeah, I'd say let's start it off there is that these guys are really selfless. They care about each other. That goes into, you know, how they were raised, obviously, but also understanding the situation that we're in. Everybody wants to win. You know, when you catch 10 passes and you still lose, you know, it still stings. And so, you know, you may get 8 passes and we go win the game. And so, you know, the thing that I'm also learning and getting better at and things that I've been learning over the past years, I've been in offense like Lincoln Riley is, you know, I spread the ball around. I don't think that you can go back and necessarily, you know, pick out one receiver throughout my career and was like, you know, that guy had 100-something catches. You know, I try and give my guys the best shot and with the ball and then let them, you know, be special when they catch the pass. And so something I'm still learning, like I said, is spreading the ball early in the game, keeping the guys engaged, and then, you know, second half going to go win the game.
It's ridiculous, Jeff.
Yes, it is.
My entire college career, 17 touchdown passes. This guy had 30 in like 6 games last year.
Yeah, he was better than you, Jim. He was better than you.
You want me to be a wet blanket? I'll be your wet blanket today if you want me to.
I was Danny yesterday.
I'll take the burden today.
All right.
I like Caleb Williams, but
oh my God, what are you guys doing to me?
He is saying nothing that any other rookie quarterback wouldn't say. He's just very well spoken, so it comes off like, oh, he's so ready for the NFL. He might be ready on the handling the media portion, but there's nothing he's saying that's like, damn, he's creating a new way to talk about football. Like, he sees things other people don't. It's not true. He's just saying it better.
Well, okay, but that is at least a part of it.
Sure. He's not stupid. That's wonderful.
That's good.
Good.
That's a good baseline.
Bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
They drafted someone who's not stupid. That being said, he's just saying the right things the right way.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I he is saying things the right way. That's all he can do in an interview. And listen, man, part of this, of being in the pressure cooker of the big leagues, the big city, the big media, all that stuff, is like, he's got to speak twice a week. Minimum, right? He's going to do his Wednesday press conference, and he's going to speak postgame at the podium. That's 2 times. That's not including if he does a radio show, if he does national appearances, he'll be the guy that gets interviewed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
On all of the featured, right? He'll be interviewed on Sunday Night Football's pregame show. Like he will have 2 to 3, 2 minimum, probably 4 maximum, high-profile media appearances a week. And being able to handle it, and not create distraction, not create headlines, not piss anyone off, not be intimidated by it. It's not the biggest thing. It's one of the smaller things. But we've seen other guys struggle with it. Mitch wasn't great at it. it led to him being mocked in some ways. Texters picked up on something that I should have commented on from Jim Miller when he said, you know, if you the city will embrace you if you keep your mouth shut and just keep your head down and go to work. That's a pretty old school mentality. I don't think Chicago is going to turn on Caleb Williams for being outspoken if he becomes outspoken.
You also can't do that, number one, in this market, number two, in the modern media age. You can't be quiet. If you want to be a superstar, you have to say things.
But you can be, yes, I agree with that, and he wants to be a superstar. But I think Caleb's going to grow into it. Like, I think that the Caleb that we get in year three, after he's had some success in the NFL, in terms of making headlines, sharing his opinion, is going to be different than the guy that we get in week three.
I think generally, too, like a lot of the top quarterbacks in the league, most of them, I would say you would put them in the category of they keep their mouth shut. Like, I hate the Mahomes comparison, but you look at him, it's like he doesn't – he's not incredibly, you know, just out there, and, you know, he doesn't give other teams bulletin board material.
Talks like, a lot but says very little.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what that means, you know?
Like, yeah.
Not creating distractions, you know,
yeah,
for your team in a negative way.
No, I mean, I get on Carrington, so he gets Mahomes weekly, and I'm like, hey, when are you going to make news? You got one of the most famous people in the world on your show every week for 10 minutes. And I never, you know, I occasionally see headlines come out of it. But I'm like, come on, man. He's like, dude, he says nothing. And then I listen to the interviews and he says nothing.
Oh, he gets them once a week?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
I know.
Too bad.
Yeah, we get them every day.
It's true. That's too bad that he only gets them once a week, once every 5 days.
Yeah. It's impressive.
He's right. Hey, Pat. He's right back there. He's just hanging out, waiting to talk later.
We'll talk to him later.
About the Raiders.
Yeah, we're going to get a...
pissed, dude.
Oh, yeah?
Brittany's here with him today.
Oh, well,
to make sure that he's okay.
So is that why he's pissed?
Yeah.
Got it. Before we talk to John Morosi coming up at 3:30, Jeff Passan wrote a story today on ESPN+, and it was about how this trade deadline is shaping up to be very uneventful. The Randy Rosarena trade maybe will be the biggest trade that any team makes of this deadline, and it just went down. It said that, you know, Vlad Guerrero not on the market, no one's meeting the price on Robert, the pitcher for the Tigers doesn't look like they're going to part with him. Why am I forgetting?
Tarek Skubal.
Yeah, Skubal, thank you. That seems like it's going to be a pretty quiet deadline. But he basically said that Crochet and his agency, which is CAA, one of the most powerful agencies in sports and entertainment in the world, if not the most powerful, kind of shocked the baseball world yesterday with their request or threat, however you want to frame it, that if a team trades for him, he wants a contract extension before he will agree to pitch in October. If you give him the contract extension, he'll pitch in October, either in the rotation, out of the bullpen, he'll do whatever you want to do. If you don't give him a contract extension, he is going to refuse to come out of the bullpen, pitch every 5 days, and then shut it down because he will surpass and shatter his previous record for innings pitched. And so he, kind of like what Josh Hader did, what Tyler Glass now did, those sort of things. Now, Hader, obviously much more accomplished as a relief pitcher. Crochet, all-star for one season as a starter, but kind of an out-of-nowhere success story. And then Glass now had stacked multiple good years before he got the five-year, $130-plus million contract extension. But, you know, Passan describes Getz as a deal-maker in the story, and he writes this, though, quote, "But the likelier outcome is that Chicago revisits moving him this winter, provided Crochet makes it through the last 2 months of the season healthy," end quote. Says teams aren't meeting the price on Robert, Eric Fetty will go, but that it ultimately is going to be a pretty quiet deadline for the whole league and the White Sox specifically because of this thing with Crochet. So I read that as they want to trade Crochet, but now the industry doesn't want to trade for Crochet because they want two more years of cheap control without having to give him an extension. And how is it so a small market team isn't going to trade for him because they're not going to pay him what he would want. So that removes some teams from being possible to trade from him. And big market teams with a ton of money aren't going to trade for him because they don't know if he'll pitch in October and they want to see him perform and get through a whole year before they give him an extension. This, I get where Crochet and his people are coming from. I obviously do. But this seems to set up a pretty bad scenario for the White Sox to me. Like, if they wanted to trade him and now they can't trade him, they've got two more months of injury risk on their hands of Garrett Crochet pitching in meaningless baseball games. And so if he gets hurt...
You can't live like that, though. You can't live like that.
But they are prepared to trade him in a week.
But you can't.
I understand that. But before this request, before 24 hours ago, it read like they were prepared to trade Garrett Crochet. They wanted to trade him. Whether or not we think that they should have or shouldn't have, it seemed like they were going to, according, if you believe Jeff Passan's reporting. And now he says they probably won't be able to. So that means he's going to pitch the rest of the year for you, which is exciting for White Sox fans that are still locked in and watching the game. He's an exciting player to watch. He's the success story of your season. But it's two more months of risk. He's pitching in meaningless games. And he says they're going to revisit trading him in the offseason. So it just strikes me as a risky situation for the White Sox through no fault of their own. Like, if he pitches for you in August and September and gets hurt, your trade value for him will plummet. But you're not going to shut him down, because the whole point is showcasing that he can go a whole season so that you could get maximum value for him. Now, of course, you could solve all of these problems by just signing him to an extension yourself.
Correct.
But we know they're not going to do that.
And that's why we don't want to watch them anymore.
Okay.
That's why we don't want to be White Sox fans anymore. Okay. I'm not saying we like Tanny and I. I'm talking about the White Sox fan collective. That's why we don't want to do it. Because there's no dedication to the talent. There's no dedication to the tech. There's no dedication to development. There's no dedication to the fan. That's why we don't want to do it.
Okay. But we can't change any of that.
Watch me.
Okay. It's impressive what you could do. But I mean, I wouldn't trade for Garrett Crochet now either if I was another team.
No, definitely not.
I feel like it changes. 24 hours ago, they were going to trade him. Now they won't trade him or be able to trade him. And so you're going to have him, which is good. You're better with him, but you're still 50 games under 500. So my guess is Getz is pretty pissed about this development. Just because if his plan was, now you'll, as long as he's healthy, you'll get a ton for him in the offseason. There's still 2 years of control left. And hey, you can argue that if he gets through this year and doesn't get injured, you'll get even more for him, because you'll answer the question of, hey, look, he was able to pitch every 5 days for a whole season. So there's an, I'm presenting the downside. There's an upside. You could get more. More teams are in it. More teams are open for business. He proves he can get through 162 games. But I would be, given how little the games mean, I'd be holding my breath every time the guy pitches in August and September. Because the upside is not much higher. He's awesome. You're going to be able to get a lot for him because he's cheap. The downside of, if he gets hurt, and I know he's already had the Tommy John surgery the one time, but if he gets hurt, whew, could submarine your value. And just from an entertainment point and how terrible these two teams are, like, we'll talk to Morosi in a few minutes, but like, it's a bad deadline. The Cubs aren't going to be able to do anything. And now the White Sox, the biggest thing they'll do is trade Eric Fetty. It's going to be a boring trade deadline around here. Just hoping for some sort of excitement and life injected into this Chicago baseball season that we've had.
No, you weren't.
I mean, you know, at least until
it's not your MO.
At least until the Hall of Fame game. At least until a little preseason football got underway, you know what I mean?
You took off the day before the trade deadline next week.
That's, the deadline's Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm off on Monday.
Yeah, Bernstein in with Spiegs.
Yeah, Bernstein pulling
a double.
Pulling the 8-hour shift.
8-hour radio show.
That's nothing. I'm doing 24 a couple of weeks after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have I mentioned that yet? Have I mentioned it? Talking about it a little bit. John Morosi on what he's hearing about Garrett Crochet's demands and if Tyone or others are on the market. He better not mention our guy Nico Horner to the Yankees. I'll get very upset. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.